Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and Chris Plaid Woodard joins us.
Thank you. It's just for today. You won't. Don't worry about it.
No, I've received that designation before. Yeah, it's a badge of honor.
You're a plaid man, are you?
You can call me whatever you want as long as you continue to sign my paycheck.
Okay.
I'll get your plaid shirt from middle school.
I'll get your dry cleaning and restripe the parking lot.
Make the popcorn. That's commitment right there, my
friend.
Yes,
it is.
All right, Wesley, before we go to our guests, you got something to announce?
Yes, sir. I'd like to announce that we are starting back our annual conferences, and we have Biblical Bedrock Building on the Authority of Scripture Summit.
Could you name it any
longer?
Yeah, I think you need a longer name.
Well, you know, we can go back and revisit this.
All right. We used to have what's called Marriage and Family Life Conference.
That's right.
Annually in the summer here in Tupelo, and we had 2,000 or 3,000 people sometimes come from around the country to attend. We skipped that last year.
That's right.
So this is a conference that's of the same nature, but it's renamed this name with 10 words, which that was not a marketing genius.
It is, and let me explain why. It's called the Activate Summit. It's the Activate Summit.
I'd go with that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And I can explain why we have the name.
Quickly.
Activate, we're going to have an annual Activate Summit. Within the Activate Summit, we're going to have a different topic each year. And the topic for this year is building on the authority of Scripture. And so the emphasis is going to be very similar to the God who speaks. If you think about the idea that the Bible, we're going to look at things by Frank Turk there. So we'll look at how the Bible came about.
Gotcha.
Being able to defend the Bible being inspired, inerrant, and authoritative.
I got you.
You get the idea.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a topic.
When is it? How can people learn more about it?
June 12th through the 14th. June 12th through the 14th of 2025 is our Activate Summit 2025. You can go to afa.net/events. afa.net/events. It'll be hosted here in Tupelo at our hometown, at the Cadence Center, same place as we had the Marriage Family Life. There will be an Activate Kids program for ages 6 through 12. Activate Kids program that will complement all that will be taught in the main course, will then also be taught for the children as well.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to activate six-year-olds. I think they already have enough energy.
That's right.
So, did you get the website?
Yeah. How can you read more about this now?
Go to activate.afa.net, and there's a tab that says Summit.
Activate.afa.net. And when is it?
June 12th through the 14th of 2025.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Robert Gagnon has been on with us a couple times in the last few weeks to discuss Christians in politics and voting and the election and so forth and so on. And he has a new column out at The Federalist, thefederalist.com. Wanted to ask him about what this new column is about, and Robert joins us now. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Tell us, for those who don't know, you've been on with us before. What do you do every day?
Well, I'm visiting scholar at Wesley Biblical Seminary in Ridgeland, Mississippi, and I'm teaching a course currently for them on the Bible and homosexuality and transgenderism. It's an area that I've worked a lot on in the last 25 years, doing a 500-page book, another book, number of articles, encyclopedia entries, and so forth.
Yeah. I'd also like to say that Dr. Gagnon is probably the leading Christian scholar on this subject of what the Bible says about homosexuality, same-sex attraction, transgenderism, and including in that defending the Christian Orthodox view of human sexuality, marriage, and family.
Amen.
And he, let me tell you, this brother takes his lumps for doing that because he gets attacked all the time. So, so when we say, when he says that he's writing about this, he's the go-to guy in the Christian community in this country.
That was Ed, Robert, if you want to send him a Christmas, like a gift card or something. Ed was the one.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah.
He likes pizza.
Yeah.
I'd actually rather have his book.
Yeah. All right. Your latest column in thefederalist.com is voters decided Democrats are the biggest threat to democracy. What are you saying there?
Well, of course, it's very ironic that Trump supporters were called the biggest threat to democracy, and of course, Trump himself. But it's the exact opposite, and that's why the Democrats lost. And basically, I break it down into three areas, which is the promotion of LGBTQ immorality, the promotion of abortion, the loss of freedoms of speech and exercise of religion, and various other ways, anti-republic proposals that they've made in order to push their agenda through, everything from the illegal immigration scam to the packing and term limits for the courts, new states out of Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia so they can control the Senate, and on it goes. So really the great threat was clearly Harris and Waltz. And their two primary idols are, again, LGBTQ immorality and abortion. And everything else, all the other cheating that goes on, is in service of that agenda. So basically, the article consists of just listing off the various elements within each of those categories that pose a threat to the Republic.
Were you surprised that Trump won as big as he did?
You know, I prayed earnestly on my knees often every day that Trump would actually not only win, but have a convincing victory where he would actually sweep all seven swing states. But I have to confess to you that my faith wavered at many points on that. And that includes the night of the election when I was listening to the returns. But God is gracious, in spite of our weaknesses in faith at times, God miraculously brought that through. And what that meant was that he spared us from a much greater evil that could occur. Every candidate has failings. And as we all know, Trump has a few personal character failings from the past, although he's not been so bad.
He's not aware of that, but you can go ahead.
Yeah, well, of course, because everything Trump does is the greatest thing that's ever happened. Humility is something he has to work on a little bit. That would be number one of things. But in terms of policy issues, there's a great deal of good that Trump will accomplish on our behalf, and that includes the transgender nonsense that has been going on. I think that really that has become the big issue. And I actually argued before the election that it ought to be the greatest concern for Christians. There are many concerns that we should have, of course, multiple ones. But I think that rises to the top as the key one, because for many reasons. Number one, you're eliminating the whole foundation of human sexuality by saying that there's no objective biological basis to sex. It's just whatever anyone says that he or she is. And that cancels out a very important dimension. What I would argue, one of the two central dimensions of creation in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And along with that comes really severe consequences, as we all know, like chemical castration of minors with puberty blockers and cross-gender hormones and mutilation surgery. Also, of course, the intrusion of males in female private spaces and sports. And along with that goes a major, you have to have a major indoctrination thrust to your political agenda, because you have to, people basically have to lie. So it becomes, you know, who are you going to believe, your lying eyes or our, you know, LGBTQ ideology? Well, we can see that a man can't become a woman at every dimension because the whole body is organized reproductively in such a way that you have two primary sexes, male and female. And now that's been completely denied. So if you can actually pass that agenda through through to society that there is actually no biological basis for sex, you can pretty much push any agenda through. And, of course, in order to do that, it requires a massive attenuation of civil liberties in terms of free speech and free exercise of religion.
Okay, where can people read about this more in detail?
So the article appears in The Federalist. It just came out yesterday. And so if you've been attacked by friends that you have no basis for voting for Trump as you did, and the great threat to democracy and the great fascist is Trump and his supporters, read this article and you'll get several dozen reasons why we did not want to do that.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you so much for having me again on, and God's blessings to AFA.
Okay, thank you. That's Dr. Robert Gagnon joining us. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Breaking news. Mm-hmm. What, Chris?
John Thune, the senator from South Dakota, is the winner of the Senate majority election among senators. He defeated Senators John Cornyn of Texas and Rick Scott of Florida in that three-senator fight.
Did they fight? Did they actually have a fight?
It was a battle of votes. They fought.
There it is.
They fought at the ballot.
That was very quick, Chris. But you got to be quick in the news department.
Yes.
Right? Very quick.
So John Thune, he's been in leadership in the Republican Party in the Senate for a long time now.
Yes.
So he's replacing Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's effective immediately.
Well, it'll be effective, I think, once the new Senate takes their places in January.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the other two fellows who were competing for that were Rick Scott from Florida and John Cornyn from Texas. I wonder what they're – will they be 2-3? What do we know yet?
I don't know about that. I do know that they had to go to a second vote. So Rick Scott didn't make it first round.
It was between Cornyn and
the final vote.
And Thune.
And it was secret ballot. I think that's traditional. For this.
Thune did upset some Trump supporters in recent days when he was asked whether or not Trump should weigh in on this, and Thune said that Trump should stay out of the GOP leader race. We played that clip on AFR at the Core last week when I was on with Walker, and we talked about whether or not that was a smart tactic on Thune's part, knowing he's going to have to win over so-called MAGA voters in his leadership bid.
Listen, Trump and Thune and Johnson, the House Speaker, they're going to work together. John Thune, the Senate Majority Leader now, he understands that Trump's got all the power.
Do you think – so you're saying he'll be better than McConnell?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, good.
I do. Listen, okay – here we go again, Ed. I'm about to play the liberal.
Okay, better you than me.
I'm going to go get some popcorn.
Yeah, you get out of here before our listeners fire back at us. Not everything Mitch McConnell did was bad, okay? When you're herding cats, it's a hard job.
Yeah.
All right? And Mitch McConnell was the epitome of the establishment. I think it was time for him to go. Okay, but there was a reason he was elected by his peers all those years, because he evidently had some skill and ability to coordinate things among people. And for the Republican side, I'm talking about. Now, so I'll just cite you one good thing that Mitch McConnell did do that was very helpful. He did Obama?
It was Obama when he nominated Merrick Garland.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, you remember that? It was an election year, but it was way out from the election, like 8 or 10 months, 8 months or so.
It was the last year of Obama's presidency.
Right.
Correct.
And something happened.
Ruth
Bader Ginsburg passed away.
No, it was Scalia.
Scalia.
Ginsburg was replaced by Amy Coney Barrett.
That's a good point. Well, we got the names flying, don't we? Okay, so I'm just saying McConnell could have right there gone ahead and held a vote. But instead, he decided to hold on to that because he understood how critical the Supreme Court makeup was.
And you did not, and for conservatives, you did not want to replace Scalia with a liberal justice.
Right, and McConnell stopped that.
Yes, he said it is President Obama's last year in office. We're going to let the American people decide who we replace Scalia with.
With the election.
With the election.
Right.
And that was when President Trump won.
Right. So that took some backbone.
It did.
There. Yeah. He's the reason we have a Justice Gorsuch today, because Trump enters office and puts Gorsuch in the position.
Right. Right. So I'm just saying, listen, I'm glad to see McConnell out, because I think he was I just don't think he had the fire in the belly for anything conservative anymore, hardly. That's my viewpoint, but it was a hard job, and not everything everybody did. It was a reason he was elected time and time and time again among his peers, conservatives, moderates alike. They elected Mitch McConnell, and now they've elected John Thune. Again, I think John Thune will work with Trump and work with House Speaker Johnson. But Thune knows, as I said, the wind at the back of President Trump, and you're not going to want to upset him and his supporters right now. So I think he'll work together with Trump.
I will say this about Thune. I don't disagree with what you're saying about John Thune working. I don't know that I would trust the Republican establishment to give Trump everything he wants, and that's their job. That's the job of the Senate. They are elected for 6-year terms. And so you're less likely to pressure them into doing what you want them to do. That's part of their job. But I will say this: John Thune was reelected in 2022, so he's in office until 2028. And so if you're going to threaten him with being primaried, that's a long way off.
Plus, Trump would do that.
Yes,
if he got into a really bad, ugly fight with John Thune, which I don't think will happen, he will try to take you out.
Yeah.
Because look what he did with Bob Good.
Yes.
He's 20 years younger than Mitch McConnell, John Thune is.
So yeah. I think it would be beneficial for Republicans in the Senate and the House, obviously, but we're talking about the Senate, to work with President Trump. The president has a mandate.
I mean, yes,
he won
does.
The popular vote and yes. and won the Electoral College by almost 100 votes, almost 100 electoral votes. So he has a mandate, and the American people have spoken, and it would be beneficial for the Senate to work with him, but it would also be beneficial for President Trump to understand that he may not get everything he wants.
Right. I think it'll be fine. That's my
opinion. I'll make this brief because it's about tax policy, which not everybody is excited about.
We're dug in here.
Okay,
give us some tax policy,
okay.
Chris.
It's interesting and very timely that the Republican Party is going to control the House, the Senate, and the White House in 2025.
We don't know if they're going to control the House yet.
Well, some news outlets have called it for Republicans.
Okay.
Fox is still holding out. So anyway, assuming Republicans do control the House, the Senate, and the White House, and it's looking like they will. One of the first things they really need to get out there and approved is extending the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That's the tax relief plan that Trump signed into office in 2017, not long after they realized they weren't going to be able to get
Paul Ryan's tax cuts?
Paul Ryan had a plan in that situation, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Various provisions of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act are set to
expire
at the end of 2025. So that is one of the first things they're going to have to get through, in addition to the judgeships and all the other stuff that they have to do, like any Congress would have to do.
Yeah, I think those are, I call them the Paul Ryan tax cuts. Really, he was the architect of that, and President Trump, signed off to it. So it's called the Trump tax cuts now, but he worked with then, I guess, was it House Speaker? He was then House Speaker Paul Ryan.
Right.
They worked together on getting those through, and a lot of people attribute those to igniting the economy. After they passed those, and it had to do with deregulations too, which Trump is a traditional Republican in terms of being a businessman, as I understand it. Basically, he's for lower taxes and lower regulations. So he's a traditional Republican in that respect. Yeah. All right, next story, Chris.
All right, to go with our discussion just a moment ago with Mr. Gagnon. Last night on his show, Abe Hamilton had pollster George Barna on to talk about some new research from George on how faith-based voters voted in this election. And George went on to share a number of statistics. But here is but a portion of some of what George had to say last night. Clip 14.
Frankly, Mr. Trump would not have won the election without the support of Christians. Votes for Donald Trump, about 78% of them came from Christians. So you take that out of the equation, he doesn't have much to work with.
Now, I play that because I've been here for over 14 years, and there has not been a year in which I've not had to include a soundbite from somebody talking about the number of Christians that don't vote. And so I think this is proof that a lot of Christians did hear the call, and they got involved, and they did vote in this particular election. 78% means a lot of Christians did not vote for Trump. That was their choice. But a number of Christians did realize, hey, this is important, and I do have to get off the couch, stop watching Netflix for a minute, and go vote.
You didn't vote this year, Chris?
Oh, I'm paraphrasing somebody in general. Yeah, a person out there in my imagination.
George Barna was saying 78% of the votes cast for Donald Trump across the board were from Christians.
I think so. We can play it again.
Double
check here. Identified as Christians. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so not 78% of Christians voted for Trump. 78% of all the people who voted for Trump said they were Christians?
Let me double check to make sure I'm not telling you wrong. Can we play it again?
Because lying's a sin, Chris.
Frankly, Mr. Trump would not have won the election without the support of Christians. Votes for Donald Trump, about 78% of them came from Christians. So you take that out of the equation, he doesn't have much to work with.
So that's probably from exit polling. Mm. That Barna,
yeah, probably so. Did. I trust George Barna.
I do too. Yeah. Now, one of the things I love about George Barna is when he does other polls and surveys, he drills down a little bit, because I'm guessing that people come out of voting, exit polls.
Are you a Christian? Yes. Who'd you vote for? Yes.
Yes. And what George Barna does in other polling that's not like exit polling is he'll differentiate between self-identified Christians. Yes, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. Then are you a born again Christian? And yes. Then he has this this questionnaire to determine what they actually believe. Mm-hmm. And so then he has evangelical Christian in a separate category.
He did get into that with Abe. I don't have that soundbite. The newsroom is working on it. In the meantime, after this great program ends, go to AFR.net, click on the podcast button, and look for Last Night's Show with Abe talking to George, because he did get into Sage Cons, Christians, Catholics.
Sage Cons, didn't they fight the Klingons? Yeah. In that one movie?
Hey, George, I'm proud of you.
That was in The Search for Spock.
I saw that. That
yes.
Was,
George Bonner did mention.
That was a throwdown right there, a galactic throwdown.
Hey, you're just getting better and better. Right. Sage Cons against Klingons.
Live long, prosper, and vote.
Yes.
He's going to release either today or tomorrow.
The Wrath of God.
Y'all. I don't know what to do with y'all sometimes. I actually have a serious point here.
Well, you're going to have to learn what to do with us.
Well, I need to bring a pen in here and write down what I want to say. That way I don't forget.
Go ahead. You got a minute.
George Barna did say he's going to release either today or tomorrow the full study of what he shared on Abe's program. And so that's something that we'll be looking forward to. And once we have that, we'll certainly put that up on
And we'll maybe drill down a little bit.
And I just want to take up every second we've got.
Go ahead, man. I'm done.
Just to say, I told you so.
Yeah.
I've been saying for 6 months now, Trump's numbers, voting wise, was going to be similar, if not identical, to 2016 and 2020. It'll be the same in 2024. What the difference will be is that there will be low turnout from the Democrat side.
Lower.
You were right about that.
And you said that.
Yeah, that's what I expected to see. I didn't expect Trump to gain more people.
Right.
Everybody knows for the last 12 years who Trump is.
Yeah.
And what you're getting. I don't think you were going to gain any. Even at the stake that we were at, I think you were going to. Now, were you surprised that
you're out of time.
20 million or 18 million less votes?
Right.
That's a lot.
In 2020?
For the Democrats.
You did use up all the remaining time. Good work.
To say I told you so.
Yeah.